on to the word, shall we? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for the anointed worship, and we just ask you, Father, now, Lord Jesus, to anoint your word. We know your word is anointed. We ask you to have your way in this moment, precious Jesus. Lord, we put it into your hands. I ask you, Lord, to open our hearts to receive and our ears to hear what you're saying to us today, this morning, Jesus. And we just praise your holy name, and we just worship you, precious Father. Amen, Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. There we go. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. It always struck me as peculiar the way it says, immediately left their nets. These were businessmen. These were men with families, men with wives. And they immediately left what they were doing, what they were, their job, making their living. They left that to follow a stranger. They didn't know who Jesus was. They had never met him before this moment. And so it makes me wonder, immediately, what did they see in him? What did they feel? What made them leave everything like that? What would make you leave your job and your family, your living, your business? Oh, man, when my dad had a business, we were at that business 7 days a week. We didn't leave that business for anything because that business ruled our life. And here these men just walk away from it. I believe they felt the love of Jesus Christ. I believe the first reason they walked away was love. You know, love can be seen. Love can be seen in the look on someone's face. Love can be seen in the way someone speaks to you. Love can be seen in the way someone hugs someone. And love can be felt. Love can be felt in a smile. You know, sometimes when Miss Marty smiles at me, I can feel her love for me. You know, when my grandson comes up to me and he's like all starry-eyed, and he's like, "Mimi, I can just feel the love." And he's already got me. At Mimi, it was done. "Whatever you want." Because I can feel so much love in the way he says my name that I don't care what he wants, I'm going to get it. You know, and the way Jesus spoke to them, "Hey, come and follow me." I don't know, it doesn't sound super lovey to me, but they had to have seen something. They had to have felt something. And I know that they had to have felt love. Love draws people. We've been talking about that this morning. Love draws people. You know, this Xander, he knew where to go. When he was at the worst moment and the lowest moment of his life, he knew where to go to find some love. Because she'd already been so in love into him, even if he'd been rejecting it, even if they'd been butting heads, he already knew there was somebody who loved him when everybody else had given up on him. You can feel love. You know when someone loves you. You know when love is real and when it's not real. Have you ever had a phony hug before? Right? And did you just feel the love pouring off that hug? You know, a hug is supposed to be a sign of affection. It's supposed to be another greeting of love. Have you ever felt dirty after one of those love hugs, like there was something wrong with you? Yeah, right? You know when something is real and when it's not. You know when someone's love for you is real or it's not love. And you know in John 3:16, everybody knows that verse. It's probably the most famous verse of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life." Oh, that's love. That's love. Boy, giving up one of my kids for you? For someone who might rub me the wrong way more than once or twice? I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I could do it for someone who I loved. I don't know if there's anybody I love more than my grandbabies. But Jesus loved so much. God loved so much. And I am sure they felt that love draw them. Have you ever met anybody that their love just drawed you? You just wanted to be where they were? You know, there was an evangelist named Emmanuel Zega. And when he came to a church and spoke that I was going to for a small amount of time out in Belfair, the people just flocked to him. He was done preaching, the service was over, and you couldn't even hardly get him because people were just surrounding him, trying to talk to him, just being in his presence. You know, Zoanne Wilkie was that way. Everybody that knew Zoanne Wilkie. Everywhere that girl went to minister, I had the privilege of getting to be trained by her a little bit, and so I went with her on several speaking engagements. And everywhere she went, when she was done speaking, she'd sit down and people would just flock to her. They just wanted to hear her talk more. They didn't care if she was talking to them or not. They just wanted to hear more. They didn't want it over. And you know what that was that they were feeling? They were feeling the love of God, the presence of God. That draws people. It does not repel most people. It draws people. It might repel the devil. It might repel his spirit. But it does not repel most people. Because most people at their very heart want to be loved. Genuinely loved. With a real love. A love that's tangible. A love you can feel, praise the Lord. And the second thing I believe that they felt in Jesus or saw was the anointing of God. You know, in Luke 4:18 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The captives, the brokenhearted, the poor, the blind, the oppressed, praise the Lord. They are looking for love. They are looking for an answer to their problem. They are looking for an answer to what is ailing them or what is binding them. And that answer is the anointing of God. And do you know who has the anointing of God living in them? You and I have the anointing of God living in them. So when we come to the captives, and when we come upon the brokenhearted, and when we come upon those who are oppressed, we should be bringing life, because his life lives in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Hallelujah. And his Spirit is upon you and I today to do what it was he was doing. Is his presence so strong in you that you are drawing people to you, that you are drawing the lost, and that you are drawing the broken to you? Hallelujah. Because it should be. It should be, because his Spirit lives in you. And I am sure those fishermen felt that anointing, and it drew them like a flight of light. It drew them. They couldn't have stopped themselves from going to what they were feeling coming out of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, the third thing is the Holy Spirit draws. Whew, Holy Spirit in us draws. It says in John 6:44, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." You know, the Spirit of God is in us, the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. And he draws people to him. So it's going to draw people to you, because Holy Spirit lives in you. And that Spirit of God living in you draws the broken and the lost and the hurting to you. My mother said I was a magnet for that when I was young. She was a little concerned what that would mean for me when I got marrying age. Because every broken every broken school grade, junior high grade person, I just took them in. Didn't know what to do. I just took them in. Took them to church. Just loved on them. I befriended them. I did whatever I could. I just loved on them. And most of them I led to Jesus. Because I knew that's where the answer was. I knew that Jesus is the answer. And do you know that answer lives in you? His Spirit lives in you. So now we are supposed to be the answer that the world needs to see. We have the answer inside of us. And they should see that. It should be drawing them just like Jesus drew Peter and John. Just like he drew his disciples to him. We should be drawing people to us to see Jesus. Because he lives in us. Not because we're so good. Not because we're perfect, not because we have it all together, but because his Spirit who lives in us is perfect and has it all together. Oh, hallelujah. They felt the presence of God. They were called to make fishers of men, just like Christ was a fisher of men. So we are called to be fishers of men. One of the most important things to fishing, I have this beautiful picture of my granddaughter that got sent to me this week. She's in Florida visiting her grandfather, and he got to take her fishing. And she caught a fish, and it looks like it's at least this big. It looks like it's as tall as she is. Some kind of, I think, a big mouth bass or something. It's huge. And she's standing there with this big fish curled up at her feet trying to hold it like this, all smiley. Like she's so excited and so happy she caught a fish. That should be us. That should be us, knowing that we are here to be fishers of men. We should be so excited about winning the lost. We should be so excited about witnessing to the homeless. Because Jesus is the answer. Because Jesus is the healer, and he was anointed to heal. He was anointed to set free. And we have that anointing on us to bring freedom to the captive. Woo, hallelujah. To bring healing to the afflicted. Because it's what Jesus did. The thing is, sometimes we're not using the right bait. You know, I know my daughter, my granddaughter had to have used the right bait. That was a huge fish. They don't just jump on the hook all willy-nilly. You know, they don't just see a little old metal hook floating in the water and go, "Woo, shiny." Now, I would do that. "Woo, shiny, I want it." But fish don't do that. They want to see a little bit of food dangling there. They need the bait. And so sometimes we're using the wrong bait. And if we're using the wrong bait, we're not going to catch the right fish, praise the Lord. So, what is the first bait that Jesus used? You know, because in all things we're supposed to reflect Jesus. You know, we're supposed to do it as Jesus did. We're supposed to be his example. The world is supposed to see Jesus in us. So, the first bait he used was love. There's that word again. Ooh, how many love that word, love? Loving the unlovable. Ooh, it just gives me shivers. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now, it used to say that you love one another as you love yourself. You know, that you love others as you love yourself. But in this verse, Jesus says, "A new commandment." He's making a change to it. And it's that "as I have loved you" part. So we're not called to love others like we love ourselves, because sometimes we struggle with loving ourselves. And it's really hard to love others when we don't love ourselves. And so a lot of people battle with loving because they can't even love themselves. How can they love someone else? When your heart's that filled with brokenness and that filled with hurt and pain and bitterness and you're that wounded, how can you love someone else? It's really impossible to love someone else like you love yourself. Or maybe we are loving people like we love ourselves. And that's a big repellent, right? But Jesus changed it. A new commandment I give to you, he says, that you love one another as I love you. Wow. I can't answer for how Jesus loves you. I can only tell you how he loves me. And his love for me is perfect. Even though I'm not perfect. And I want to be perfect. Oh, there is nothing I want more in this world to be able to say I am perfect. I haven't reached that place yet, and he still loves me. I fall. I make mistakes. I'm not all I should be all the time. And yet he still loves me. Do you know that when Jesus has corrected me, it was done in such love, it just melted me, and I was just a puddle on the floor of repentance. Because that's how he loves us. You know, my biggest fear in life is of disappointing Jesus. I don't want to disappoint him. He has healed me physically. He has healed me emotionally. He has healed me spiritually. He has brought life to dead areas in me that I thought would never live again. He has picked me up. He has carried me. He has provided for me in such a way. Mexico, they have a saying that I'm the spoiled one of Jesus. And so when someone says to you, I'm the spoiled one of Jesus, then they respond to you, well, I am his concentrated love. And I was once accused of thinking of Jesus as my personal Santa Claus. Hey, I don't mind. Because he's been that good to me. When I had no car, he gave me a car. When I had need, he supplied my need. Everything I've ever needed, he has taken care of me. When I had no food in Mexico, when my cabinets were empty and I had nothing to fix for breakfast, I told God the night before, I said, okay, God, you got a problem here because my cupboards are empty and I have nothing to feed my children. And I said, so that's going to be a problem for you. Because I'm here for you. We're here for you. And you promised to supply my every need. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to bed and sleep this one off. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, that in the morning, you're going to have an answer to this problem you've got. I went to bed that night. And I told the Lord, oh, and one more thing, Lord. This is not a fast. Fasts are not forced. Fasts are chosen. So I am not going to say I am on a fast. Just saying. Good night. So I got a phone call early the next morning. And my dad says, hey, why didn't you tell me? Okay. Tell you what? I'm not sure what we're talking about yet. He goes, I put $50 in your bank account. You go get food for those babies right now. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I said, because Jesus doesn't need me to tell you. He can tell you. He has met every need. Even the moments that I thought things were the most impossible, Jesus met those needs. He is good. He is faithful. He lives in me. Oh, praise the Lord. And his love and his faithfulness should draw people to him. And we need to love others how he loves me. He has never disappointed me. I don't know about you. I'm assuming he's the same for you as he is for me. Because it's his nature. Hallelujah. The second bait that Jesus used was teaching and proclaiming the good news. Jesus used the good news. What is better bait than the good news? That you are loved, you are chosen, you are called, your sins are forgiven. Woo! What is better news than that? Praise the Lord. It says in Matthew 4:23, 4:23 that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He was preaching and teaching everywhere he went. Everywhere he was sharing the love of God. He was reflecting the love of God. He was sharing the good news that there's hope. Oh, what good news is that? What better news is there today than that there is hope? It looks like the country is falling apart. It may look like things are absolutely impossible, but I am telling you, nothing is impossible with Jesus Christ. I am telling you, Jesus is still on the throne, and it doesn't matter what I see with these eyes. What I know in my spirit and what I know in my heart is Jesus is still on the throne, and he is still in control today. Praise the Lord. What better news to be able to say, then, hey, there's peace. Oh, there's love. There is the answer for whatever your need is, and it is Jesus. And of course, in Luke 4:18, we know by that verse that we've already read that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This wasn't talking about the financially poor. It was talking about the poor in spirit. To those who needed it here. To those who were lost. To those who were broken. Oh, to those who were in great need. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. And it says in Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease among the people. His third bait was healing. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought healing. Stop for a moment and think, are we vessels of healing? Are we bringing healing to those around us? Or are we bringing dissension and discord and division? Because that's kind of the opposite of healing. We should be vessels of healing. We are to be vessels of reconciliation. As we are ambassadors of Christ, we are called to bring reconciliation. But are we bringing division and hurt and heartache? Because that's totally the wrong bait. You're going to catch the wrong thing with that kind of stuff. You know? We should be using, hallelujah, we should be bringing healing everywhere we go. Spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing. You know, we have the ability to lay our hands on the sick and see them healed. Hallelujah. The fourth bait, was Jesus brought healing to mind and spirit. How many minds need healing? How many minds are not at rest? They don't have peace. They don't have peace of mind. They don't have peace of heart. And yet we should be bringing that to people. We should be bringing peace to them. We should speak peace over them and into them because it's what Christ did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And his fifth bait was compassion for the people. Everywhere Jesus went, he had compassion on the people. It's what moved him to heal, was his compassion. Do we have compassion for one another? Do we have compassion for the homeless? Do we have compassion for the sick? Do we have compassion for the broken? Do we have compassion for the rascals? You know, that one that rubs you wrong all. That one that irritates you, gets under your skin, and just makes you want to scream. Do we have compassion for them, for their situation? Do we just have compassion because Jesus had compassion? Do we even know what compassion is today? Are you showing compassion? Because that's a really awesome bait, compassion. Hallelujah. And the sixth is his testimony. You know, when I first went to Mexico, they talked all the time about your testimony, and well, you can't be baptized until we see your testimony is what it should be. You have to live a good testimony. And I just didn't get it. What do you mean I got to live a good testimony? I can't be baptized till my testimony is good? I've got a great testimony. What are you talking about? But what they were talking about was your way of living. They were talking about Christ being seen in you. Is Christ seen in us? Is our testimony, our day-to-day living, a testimony of Christ Jesus? Because it should be. Because he doesn't just like come and go. Well, today is a good day. I am all up in Jesus' stuff today. Whew, I got it going on today. Today, I am all about love. I am all about peace. I am all about joy. I got it going on today. Whew, but tomorrow, I don't know yet. You know, it's not a come and go thing. Holy Spirit doesn't just come and go. Once we are born again, we are born again. And it is a day-to-day walk. Jesus said, come alongside me and walk with me. Deny your flesh and walk with me. I think sometimes we need a little bit more flesh denial. Self-denial is not a bad thing. Hallelujah. You know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's in the verse that we read this morning from Galatians chapter 5. It's called self-discipline. I am really good at being long-suffering until I'm not. And then it's a problem. We can all say that. I'm really good at loving until I'm angry. And then I'm not. We kind of put them on like hats and we change it out for each situation. You know, I'm really good at loving Marlene, but Marty, she gives me trouble. I'm really good at loving Sherry, but boy, Mr. Green really gets me. It's not something we put on and take off like clothing or a hat. It is something that lives in us all the time. And we have to apply it. It's a choice to love the unlovable, to love the unkind, to love those who hate us. And we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it because the very reason that Sherry told Xander why she loved him, because God loves you, I love you. That's the reason to love, not so that we can be loved back. Don't get me wrong. I want to be loved. I want everybody to love me. But that's not why I love. I love because of how much Jesus loves me. I love because he said to love others like he loves me. And so I can't help loving other people. I can't help it. I can't stop myself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His testimony was the perfect life he led. He lived what he taught. He walked the walk. He was and still is today perfect in every way. He didn't ask others to do what he wasn't doing or what he couldn't do. He only asks of us what he did. Hallelujah. He lived where they lived. He discipled them. He lived where they lived. He ate what they ate. He slept where they slept. He didn't live in a palace where he certainly deserved, but where he'd be unreachable. He lived where the people were. You know, when God sent us to Mexico, he told us to live with the people. I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand. I mean, I understand what live with the people means, but I didn't understand what that meant in the big picture, why the Lord said we had to live right where the people lived. But after becoming a missionary, we found out that a lot of missionaries to Mexico from the California state side. They have big homes in California, and then they just go over to Mexico and take some used clothes and snap some pictures, but then they go home to their big normal life. And they're resented for it. But we lived right where the people lived. Same houses. Same neighborhood. I shopped at the same meat market. Same grocery store. And that gave credit to my testimony because I was living what they lived. We had hungry times just like they did. And they watched us go through everything that we went through on the mission field. And it gave credibility to our testimony. It made them think we were real. It wasn't a pretend. You know, when you get that fake hug, you know how pretend it is. You know it's not real. And when people see you living two lifestyles, they know one of those lives is not real. When we didn't have a car, we didn't have a car for several years in Mexico. And we had to use taxis or borrow my mom and dad's car. And the people knew it. They saw it. They saw our cars broken down. When the city towed off our car because there was homeless people living in it, the whole neighborhood stood and watched. We were living right where they lived, and that's what Jesus did. And yet he stood for all the things he stood for. Living with them, he didn't stoop to become a Sadducee and Pharisee. He stayed true to who he was and what God had sent him to do. He wasn't a chameleon. You know, he didn't blend in with this group and be all cool in this group and then go over here to this group and be all cool with this group. He was who he is still today. And we need to not be chameleons. We need to be real every day. We need to be living who Jesus was and is every day. Because when people see the double standards, it's the wrong bait. And it's not going to draw them to you or draw them to Jesus. The seventh bait Jesus used was his time. He spent time with the disciples and his people. He spent time with them. Do we make time for each other? Because we need to make time for each other. We need to make friendships and bonds and be friends to one another and be bonded to one another. Because that's what Jesus is. He is your friend. He is a friend closer than a brother. He is a friend that never says the wrong thing. I, unfortunately, am the friend that will often say the wrong thing. Not because I want to, because it just pops out. Like popcorn. Add a little heat and things just start popping out. But Jesus isn't like that. And Jesus is Jesus every single day. He never stops being Jesus. And you know, we can't stop being a disciple just because it gets uncomfortable. We can't stop being a child of God just because he asks a little bit much of us. Hallelujah. The word says we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything that was is gone, and all that is the new. Are we living in the new, or do we fall back onto the old because it's comfortable and easy? It's much easier to hate than it is to love. It's much easier to get angry than it is to be patient or than it is to be long-suffering. It's much easier to gossip than it is to say, oh, let's pray. We do those things. And it's not the right bait being put out there. We can't expect to have a harvest if we're sowing bad seed. And never has there been a more important time than now for a harvest. Yeah. Never has the world been hurting more. Never has people been hurting more than right now. Never have things looked more hopeless than right now. Never has it been a better time to fish than it is today. But we have to use the right bait. We have to use the technique that Jesus used. You know, the evangelists use the net technique. It's a big old net, and they throw it out there far, and they cast it wide, and they pull in a whole huge harvest. There you go. But then there's just the fisherman. You know, the guy that just uses a pole and throws it in and catches one fish at a time. That should be us every single day. Every single day, we should be casting that line out there. Well, you know, you don't catch a fish every time you cast a line, but you're feeding something. Because my hook always comes back empty. Somebody's getting that bait. We need to be casting the bait out there. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to be discipling one another, discipling those who don't even know they need discipling. Because it is what Jesus did. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? I don't know what bait exactly it was He used on me. I think it was a mixed hook. I think it was a whole lot of love, a whole lot of forgiveness, and a whole lot of patience. And He just had me hooked right from the beginning. I can't imagine my life without Jesus. And you know, if you're out there today, if you're here today, and you don't have the assurance of Jesus as your Savior, I am telling you, as someone who needed a Savior and needs a Savior every day, Jesus is the answer. You can cry out to Him just right where you are, and you can say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need You. I know that You are the Son of God. I know that You died for my sin and I want to be Yours. And He will heed that prayer. He will hear that call. And He will come to you and He will make you His new creation. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful. When we came into church today, I could feel such a heavy oppression. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach under that. Hallelujah. Sometimes we carry a burden we're not meant to carry. And if you're carrying a burden you're not meant to carry, I want to pray with you today. I would just like to ask everybody, let's just stand to our feet and let's make this prayer as we close out the camera. Let's make this prayer so the people watching can make this prayer with us, shall we? Precious Jesus, I ask You, Lord, to remove the burdens from Your people this morning. Lord, whether it's sickness or disease or it's hurt or it's pain, Lord, whatever the burden is that they are carrying, Lord, I ask You to remove it, precious Jesus. Lord, I ask that You fill their mind and their heart with Your peace and Your joy and Your love, Lord Jesus. Lord, because Your word says, where the Spirit is, there is freedom, Lord Jesus. Oh, and I thank You, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, for breaking every yoke, Lord God. Oh, praise Your name. If you prayed that prayer with us today, just begin to rejoice that the Lord has heard and He is faithful to answer. Thank You for watching today. Thank You for being a part of a new beginning. We love You. God bless you. Have a blessed day.